It's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. With me this week, a very special guest live and direct from Las Vegas, Nevada, Andy Kelly, the Bison.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, just like Colin Wood. And also just like Colin Wood, we have with us in studio the Colin Bot that I built out of gallon milk jugs and some clown wigs. Say hello, Colin Bot.
Hello, everybody.
That was almost just like Colin was here, isn't it?
It was. It absolutely was.
It's amazing. And the Colin Bot, it's kind of like one of those artificial intelligence things. I mean, I'm no scientist, but I was trying to build it so that it would learn and adapt to situations.
For what it's worth, the albino didn't get in trouble when he was with me.
And I think I've failed. Anyway, the Colin Bot should be on hand for the entire show, offering insight as only a Colin Bot can. And one of the things that we were going to talk about today is things that you need to do before you die. And I think that everybody should have, if not an actual physical list, kind of a rough mental list of things that they want to accomplish before they die. I know that some of the things that I've wanted to try before I die was, when I was younger, it was working in radio, and I was able to check that off my list. Most recently, though, would be trying stand-up comedy. And I actually did get a chance to do that, and it didn't go poorly, so I guess I can check that off my list. How about you? Do you have a rough mental list, Andy Kelly?
You know what? I never really thought about it that way. There's things that I would like to do. Most of it involves traveling. There's like several places, countries, destinations, and whatnot that I would love to visit someday, but I really don't see myself being on my deathbed at, 42 and saying, and be like, oh, I never visited the Canary Islands. Why? Oh, why?
What exactly is in the Canary Islands that would make you that excited?
I don't know. I just picked that one up.
Oh, so that was just a random off the cuff, out of thin air type of thing.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, you know what's funny though is I was reading about this one time. Everybody thinks the Canary Islands are like named after like the bird.
Right, but
instead they're named after the dog.
There's a
not the canary dog.
A canary dog.
Canine and canary. Did you know that?
You've stumped me.
Yeah.
Completely. I think that now though, if I ever another thing I want to do before I die is make it on Jeopardy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If that question comes up, I can knowing the right answer to this conversation with you.
There you go. There you go.
If I win any money on Jeopardy, if I ever make it, that's at least worth $5.
I think it's some sort of Latin derivative of where the word canine comes from. So, yeah. You know what? I may have even seen that.
Only one. In that I didn't actually have the knife in my knife in my hand
you know,
at the time.
You know, with the Colin Bot, I know you made him out of milk.
Gallon milk jugs and clown wigs.
Oh, gallon yes. Milk jugs.
One big clown wig for the hair and another one for the beard.
Now, please tell me that for at least for the head, you have a half gallon jug that actually has his picture from when he went missing in 1976.
I was able to recreate that. I wasn't able to get a hold of the actual 1976 milk jug, but I was able to recreate that pretty faithfully.
Nice.
Because that's pretty much what I do.
Nice. That milk jug goes for big bucks on eBay, let me tell you.
That's right. It's tough to find an authentic Colin Burton is missing milk jug. It really is. But I tried, and people just weren't willing to part with them because, that was major news in 1976.
That was
years before Amber Alert, but not too many people know that when they started the Amber Alert, it was very close going to be called Colin Alert or Amber Alert. But because of the alliteration of Amber Alert, that little Amber girl won out over Colin, who people have just forgotten about now that he's been found.
Yeah. Yeah, because the Colin call kind of sounded cool, but...
gonna put out the Colin call. It's like the bat signal, only not as cool.
Of course, that signal had, like, really large curly hair and a beard.
That's right. Two big clown wigs and a half-gallon milk jug. So you say that a lot of your things that you'd like to accomplish before you are incapable of doing so have to do with travel.
Yeah, there's a lot of places I would like to see eventually.
Such as?
Oh, I'm really enamored with the old country, Italy and Greece. And
Because of your Italian heritage?
Exactly. Okay. I meant Ireland. Italy.
That is a problem.
Thank you, Colin Bot, for that pointed insight. So you like foreign countries where you can't even speak the language. That's what you're telling me.
It's not so much a language thing. I, I'm very deep into like the history thing. So I like the whole thought of going and see, you know, the Roman Colosseum and the Pantheon, stuff like that.
I can understand.
Yeah,
that.
It's not so much a culture that would thing be a lot as of fun. It is a history thing.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the reasons that my wife and I took that big swing up the East Coast tour that we did a couple of years, two, three years ago when you were still living in historic Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes.
Near the Juniata area of Altoona, which actually was a neat place because since I had never been. But, of course, we hit Gettysburg and we hit Boston and we hit Philadelphia. And so we got to see a lot of really, truly historic places. But one of the places that is still on my list that I don't know what I was thinking. I just wasn't paying attention. I didn't know we were so close to Salem, Massachusetts when we were in Boston.
Oh.
We were in Boston and we went over to frickin' Connecticut,
uh-huh.
You know, as part of our day, one day. And we didn't go to Salem.
Really?
And that would have been a whole hell of a lot of fun. Of course, the Gettysburg part of the trip, even though it was close to the end and the weather was terrible, that was probably the most memorable stop only because the place is just so goddamn haunted.
Yeah, that fulfilled the spooky requirement that you guys needed.
That sure as hell did. Because, you know, by that time, because up till then, on advice from your wife, and you and your wife just recently celebrated an anniversary. We'll get into that here later.
Ooh.
So congratulations in advance.
Well, thank you.
But on advice from your wife, we were booking through Priceline some really nice hotels, but by the time we got into Pennsylvania, it was kind of hard to find Priceline hotels, and so I was just booking at the Econo Lodge,
mm-hmm.
thinking, you get into Gettysburg, and you've got all these historic bed and breakfasts, and there's sure to be some spooky involved there, but we're staying at the Econo Lodge on the Baltimore Turnpike. No big deal, I thought, until we get to the Econo Lodge, and I pass the National Cemetery, and then I pass Evergreen Cemetery, realize I'm on Cemetery Hill, one of the major battlefields of Gettysburg conflict, and right there at the border, literally touching the cemetery, is the Econo Lodge. Firmly ensconced on Cemetery Hill. And I'm like, oh, maybe there will be some spooky. and we checked in, and, you know, it's like spectral spooky handprints on the mirror. And, you know, you might chalk that up to just lax housekeeping, but I was in ghost mode. So it was a spectral spooky skeleton handprint, not just a migrant worker doing housekeeping.
Okay.
Handprint. Yeah, that was a really neat trip, and so I'm with you. I want to go to places that have a lot of history, although I'm not as much with you on the foreign country thing. I'm kind of stuck in the mode, if I can't speak the language,
uh-huh.
I ain't going. I've been to Canada, and I can kind of speak the language up there, eh? So, you know, I can almost fit in Canada. Mexico I've been to, but that was kind of against my will, and I was like 5.
Oh.
So that doesn't count. That was like, you know, it's like Juarez, one of those border towns where they just sell velvet paintings of anything they can get their hands on. I think at the time, you know, this was years and years ago, so we bought velvet paintings, 1979, and so we bought velvet paintings of like Tweety, Sylvester, and Bugs Bunny. Which really, you know, ramp up the sophistication level in your household when you've got those on the wall.
Oh, yeah. So you passed on the Sean Cassidy and Leif Garrett and went straight for the Sylvester, Tweety, and Bugs Bunny.
Oh, you know, I'm sure my sister begged my mom for the Sean Cassidy, and I'm sure they had it. But, no, Mom only went with the cartoon characters when we were there. Plus, because she was also probably so distracted because she was warned before we went over the border, keep a close watch on that one. They like to steal the little blonde boys. So she had just a death grip on me and wasn't necessarily paying attention to anything my sister was saying.
Well, that's true. So, I mean, they do make the best sandwiches.
I guess. Just, yeah, tender little Swedish-American meat makes the best deli sandwiches. And they know that apparently in Mexico. We haven't got around to knowing that here in the States. That's why I've been safe for 32 years.
Ah, thank heaven.
Living in the state. I know. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here doing this podcast a dead man.
And in Gettysburg.
That's right.
Wandering the streets.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another thing. During the day, Gettysburg is spooky. I mean, not too many places are spooky during the day. You know, that's like the great relief in the horror movies. Oh, night's over, day comes. You can kind of breathe a sigh of relief. Gettysburg is still horrifyingly spooky during the day. Because,
yeah, that's what you said. 12 people on the sidewalk, only one shadow.
Yeah. You don't. You see people walking around, and you're still looking at them like, are you real? And one of the sites that Colin loves to visit called It's Jerry Time, he does little flash movies of his exploits. He recently went to Gettysburg and did a little flash movie of it, and I was watching it going, yep, 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 spooky, spooky, spooky. So it seems like he and I had pretty much the same experiences in the same place. And I keep telling my wife, Heather, I say, we have to go back to Gettysburg. And she says, you can go by yourself. I say, no, we've got to go, and we've got to stay in one of those bed and breakfasts, the more historic places. No, I'm not going. She was so traumatized by that one short stop in Gettysburg, she refuses to go back.
Wow. You know what the shame is? I lived in Pennsylvania almost all my life, and I'd only been to Gettysburg once, and that was like when I was 5.
Really?
Yeah, I hadn't been back since. So, like, I didn't know back then. I didn't know what Gettysburg was.
Right.
I didn't realize the significance of it. You know, and then all these years later, still not. I am a sad, sad excuse for a Pennsylvanian.
Well, now, see, but I've lived in Colorado Springs my entire life, and I have never gone up to the top of Pikes Peak.
Wow. I don't feel so bad now.
And the reasons I give people is that I wake up every day, and that goddamn mountain is still there. You lived in Pennsylvania a long time. You woke up every day, and guess what? Gettysburg was still there.
Yeah.
That was the Pikes Peak thing and the Seven Falls. I've been to Seven Falls. I've been to the Garden of the Gods, but I've never been up to the top of Pikes Peak. And the reasons I give people, not only that my wife is asthmatic and she might die at that altitude, but that's what tourists do.
Yes.
And I live here. You know, I go to work every day. I can see the stupid mountain. And people are probably thinking, it's not stupid, it's majestic. And they're right. It is majestic, and I take it for granted because I've lived here for 32 years.
Yeah.
And that's why I've never gone to the top of Pikes Peak, is because that's what people from Pennsylvania do.
Yes.
People from Colorado go to Pennsylvania and they see Gettysburg. People from Pennsylvania come to Colorado and they go see the top of Pikes Peak. It's a give and a take. That's why things like that are there. And
there you go.
To draw people in and to take their money.
Yes.
I'm not going to give them my money. I live here.
I think Pikes Peak maybe even felt me up a little bit.
It probably did. It got the reach around in, didn't it?
That bastard.
Oh, you should feel so violated.
I do.
Oh, that's horrible. That's just horrible.
I kind of liked it.
So you'll go back.
Fantasy.
And I did.
What was that, Colin Bott?
Okay.
No, that's not what you said.
Fantasy.
Oh, so your fantasy is Pikes Peak too. That's a little disturbing.
That was so funny that he should bring up fantasies, because when I was trying to think of what I was going to, the fact that I don't have any, what do you need to do before you die and stuff like that. It was like when I was,
you got a rock and roll fantasy.
Well, you know, it wasn't a, I can remember, like, you know, in my 20s, hanging out with my friends at bars and stuff like that, and you know, you get to be talking about girls and stuff like that, and you know, the question of, you know, oh, what's your sexual fantasy and stuff like that, and it's just like, I don't have one. And they're like, what do you mean you don't have one?
Apparently.
You know, at this time,
you just weren't sitting around the house coming up with these, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, because it would always inevitably come up. Oh, a guy's fantasy is two women at once. I was like, no. I was like, that's not mine. What are you talking about? That's every guy's fantasy. I was like, no, I got to worry about getting one in the bed. I haven't even reached that point
yet. Let's start slow.
Yeah,
and work up to two. I mean, one is tough enough.
Exactly.
Jesus.
Exactly. And nobody could, you know, you get all these, you know, on the rinse cycle, the washing machine, and two, and it's like, no, I need a girl to, like me first. You know, let's go, baby steps.
Baby steps. Now, there's a lot of them out there, but they're just not looking at Andy Kelly.
Exactly. Oh,
so let's work on that first.
Yeah, they were looking, but they were just nasty, nasty stares.
I've seen those stares. I got the same stares for years, and probably would still get them if I weren't married.
Yeah, same here.
So I just stopped paying attention.
Yes.
To the like, oh, stop looking at me. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to look at you. I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable by just standing here. I'm sorry that I'm so disgusting that my mere presence forces you into this repulsion. I'm not looking at you. I'm not even thinking about you. Stop looking at me. Sure, been there, done that.
Yeah. You know, sexual fantasy, what do I want to do before I die? I have no opinion. I'm very boring.
I have no opinion. Got married. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I killed two birds with one stone.
There you go. But one of the things that you did do that some people might think is kind of ballsy is you tried out, because you live in the greater Las Vegas area, you tried out for the Blue Man Group.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, and so why don't you tell the kids how that happened and how that went?
Well, it was interesting. I was reading the Las Vegas Weekly here, which is the weekly Las Vegas publication. And
kind of, is that part of the LVRJ or is it separate?
I think it's separate.
Okay, so it's a standalone weekly entertainment type publication for the Las Vegas area.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And you can find it everywhere.
Kind of like those little porn leaflets, which you can find everywhere too.
Exactly, but they really don't have people on the corner handing those out.
Oh, they're not as aggressive with the
No, and you don't feel quite as dirty having one in your hand.
Okay, not quite as dirty.
Or, you know, on most occasions.
Right.
But so I was leaping through it, and I saw they had an ad for open tryouts for Blue Man Group. And so I was like, that's interesting. I knew that they, like, did percussion-like stuff, and me being a drummer, I was like, let's see what this is about. So I looked, and it was like they had, like, four qualifications, and I'm not going to be able to remember all four, but one was strong drumming abilities, and I've been playing for 25 years, so I would hope that I would
You would hope that your drumming would be strong.
Strong and powerful.
Nuns on the Run.
And dare I say, rhythmic.
Well, yeah, and now you're a double bass player, right?
Yes.
You are a double bass player with the nickname AK-47. Now, is that a self-applied moniker, or is that something that your friends gave you when you weren't getting
chicks? That was a hopeful self-penned one, because I'm...
Oh, so that was part of your rock and roll fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty good at it, but I'm not as fast as I would like to. My double bass rolls certainly do not sound like the discharge from said AK-47.
You are still a pretty qualified drummer.
Yeah, I would say so. Not to brag or anything, but yeah, I get by.
Okay.
So there was, like, you know, must be solid drumming skills. Must be between 5'10" and 6'1", which I'm 6 foot, so I was there.
That's perfect.
I think they said athletic build. And at this point, I am.
Sure.
Before, I probably would not have been.
But now the ladies might even consider you svelte.
They may. They may. And, you know, well, let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
Oh, and then they said strong acting abilities, which that one kind of confused me, because I've seen bits and pieces of Blue Man stuff up until then. And there's really not a lot. There's a lot of staring, and there's a lot of head turning, but not a lot of, like, acting per se.
So it's more like mime.
Yeah, not a lot of line memorization.
All right.
So I was like, you know, hey, for shits and giggles, let's go for it.
Sure.
So I went, and there was, like, I think a little over 100 guys there wanting to try out. But there was guys with, like, all shapes and sizes that definitely did not fit the physical requirements that were enumerated in the ad. I eventually got up to, you know, the person that was doing the preliminaries, and it just so happened she was from State College, Pennsylvania.
Oh, and you have certainly a connection to State College.
Yes, exactly. I lived 40 miles from there. I worked in State College. I went to Penn State, which is in State College. And so, you know, we chit-chatted and whatnot, and I don't know if that was what did it, but that got me through into the drum audition.
Ah.
So I went into the drum audition, and it was as simple as there was a quote-unquote blue man there, but he was out of makeup and out of character.
So he was white man.
Yeah, he was. He was very, very nerdy white man.
And the Paleface group just doesn't have the same ring, I don't think. It doesn't sell universally.
Yeah, exactly. And they had a drum pad there, and unusual, they didn't have drumsticks. They basically had what amounted to more like bass drum mallets for, like, marching band.
Okay.
And so he would play a rhythm, and then I would join in as soon as I got it, you know, and then we would play that. And we did that about 5 times, and the rhythms got progressively harder until it finally got to the 5th one and nailed it out of the park. Everything was fine and whatnot. But I never got the call back, though, unfortunately.
Oh.
I can only assume it was because I didn't have quite the acting credentials that they wanted. But as I've told everybody since then, hey, I can stare with the best of them. You know?
Well, so, what you should have done, I mean, on your resume, you could have put things like, successfully fooled my mom into staying home sick when I wasn't, like, several times. That's acting credentials right there.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, bullshitted my way into 3 jobs. You know, anything to put on the resume that they might find that humorous.
Yeah. I never even thought about that. What I wound up
So instead, you didn't lie. You were just truthful, and that kind of backfired.
Yeah. Damn it. Damn truth.
Duh. Hello, everybody.
Son of bitchy truth.
But you did. But you tried out for a major Vegas show.
Yes.
And this is not just in Vegas. There is more blue men across the country.
Yeah,
than
that's
just
true.
In Vegas.
I believe they have one in New York and Chicago. And then, of course, they have a touring group also.
So that's pretty good. I mean, you get to go in and you get to try out for a big-time Vegas show, and you get to have some fun. And you felt close to the big time. For like a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the fact that I nailed the drumming audition, that's really all I wanted to do.
Sure.
You know? And so I did, and I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it just so happens Thursday for our anniversary, we went and saw the Blue Man Group for the first time.
Cool.
And it was very nice, and it cemented the fact that Yeah, I could have certainly done any played anything that they were playing.
Right, and but so all you're watching it not so much for the entertainment value at this point, but to say I could do that.
Exactly. A little. I mean, I was still entertained nonetheless. But yeah, I was just like, yeah, I this was a quote of mine several times throughout the evening.
that doesn't really sell tickets though.
No. Go see Blue Man Group. Just because I wasn't impressed with the drumming ability doesn't mean that they're not capable drummers.
Okay.
And it was still good. Just because I said doesn't mean that you will.
I can see large, huge marquee outside. Where are the Blue Man Group? Luxor now?
No, they moved from the Luxor to the Venetian.
Oh, okay. So huge marquee outside the Venetian, Blue Man Group, and Andy Kelly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you could have even elaborated. That would have filled up at least a line of text.
Exactly.
So it's one of those shows that I have yet to see is the Blue Man Group. And it's been recommended to me by more than one person. So perhaps the next time we're out, that one day that we're going to be out in October, that quick, stupid turnaround trip that we're going to make in October.
Yeah, it's
maybe. Maybe we'll have time to see a show, and maybe.
Oh yeah, that is a pretty short turnaround.
But I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch on this trip.
I'd say he got his karmic comeback.
Thank you, Colin Budd. I don't exactly know what that is.
But I still found it amusing. I was gonna say just because Colin said it, I find it amusing.
I actually have a similar story to your Blue Man tryout in that.
Oh, do tell.
When I was growing up, one of the things that I wanted to do, one of the jobs that I thought would be great fun. Would be that of public address announcer for a sports team.
Oh.
And all the other years I expected to be a baseball public address announcer, you know, now batting, number 12, Dante Bichette. You know, that sounds like a whole lot of fun. You get to go to the games and you get to be a part of the game, but really nobody knows who you are, so that you're kind of anonymous. You're kind of like the voice of God, except I'm not really the voice of God. I guess the voice of God would have to be like a big, deep bass voice.
Yeah.
So I guess I could be a voice of one of the angels as more of a tenor.
Or a pagan demigod.
Oh, maybe. Maybe they're fun. Maybe they're more fun. But I did end up being public address announcer for a minor league hockey team that was here in town. And that was a whole lot of fun because, again, I got to go to the games. I got a great seat. I was right between the penalty boxes at ice level. So these are games that I would have paid to see anyway. And then it turns around, I'm getting paid to be at the game. And then one day I get a call from the Colorado Avalanche, which everybody knows is a Stanley Cup champion, two-time Stanley Cup champion, NHL team. They were looking for a new public address announcer.
Ooh.
And I was called to try out. This was right as the Pepsi Center was being finished, so McNichols Arena was still standing. And so I got to try out in the old McNichols Arena, which is now a parking lot next to Invesco Field at Mile High where the Broncos play. As it turns out, they already had somebody that they were going to hire. They were going to hire Alan Roach, who is somebody who could be considered a voice of God. He's got a tremendously powerful voice, and I won't say that I could compete with him, but because NHL regulations and most professional sports leagues have the same regulations, you have to interview a certain number of people for a position before you make a hire.
Uh-huh.
And so I turned out to be a quota number.
Oh.
But I still got to go up. I still got to audition in front of the ownership and the coaching staff in the old McNichols Arena, read off, you know, starting lineups and penalties and just do all the things that I would have been doing had I been hired. And even though I didn't get hired because I was just a quota number, it was still one of the most fun days of my life just getting to scream an intro in front of the coaching staff.
That's awesome.
It was. It was completely awesome. And I didn't get it, and so I had to go back to the minors, and then that team folded, and so now I'm doing podcasts to fill that void in my life.
And not only podcasts. Podcasts with the Bison.
That's right, Podcasts with the Bison, who we've had on before, but not, you know, we were just talking about radio that last time. We didn't really get a chance to delve deep into your psyche.
No, there's, well, you know, Bison's brains are only the size of a walnut, so that's the Stegosaurus.
It's so easy to confuse the Stegosaurus and the Bison because they're so tasty.
Mm.
If you've ever gone to a wild game restaurant, it's just a tough choice between the Bison filet and the Stegosaurus filet. It's a choice that I really don't want to have to make.
Down he went. I took out a crippled kid.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. When we go to the Craftwood, that's always, you know.
Yeah.
I'm always struggling between the bison and the and the
caribou. Russian boar, Stegosaurus. Damn it, what do I get?
Damn.
Boar. I always go with boar. Yeah. I know you like to get the caribou, but...
Yes, I'm a big fan of the caribou.
And it is good. It's silky smooth, but...
Oh, yeah. And, you know, my philosophy, the prettier the animal, the tastier it is.
That's probably true. And most people are like, oh, how can you eat those, like, baby sheep, like a lamb? How can you eat a baby sheep? It's because they're tasty. They're bred for me to eat. They're bred for my culinary enjoyment. I mean, what do you...
Exactly.
What do you think, they're pets?
Yeah, exactly.
They would rip your heart out and show it to you before you die. That's how mean lambs are.
Oh, they are.
People always think, oh, they're so gentle. They'd kick your ass in a heartbeat. That's why we have to eat them, to keep them in line.
If God didn't want us to eat them, he wouldn't have made them so damn slow.
That's right. Exactly. I mean, you don't see us eating cheetah on a regular basis.
Exactly. I mean, you can just walk up to a lamb and just take a bite right out of its ass.
And, I know. And it's
probably, it doesn't mind because it knows that's its purpose.
That's right. It knows its place. It's not like those goddamn big cats of the jungle that would that would probably turn on you and kill you. That's why we don't eat them on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I say regular basis because I'm sure somebody out there has had jungle cat as an entree.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think there's actually a place online where you can order exotic meats like lion and rattlesnake and stuff like that.
That sounds not only sumptuous, but mostly illegal.
Oh, there, no.
Colin Bott doesn't eat meat. He's a vegan.
I guess not. He's just full of milk.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm actually, after we're done here, I'm going to go pawn him off on a newborn baby center so they can learn to suckle.
Oh, how disturbing is that?
That's completely disturbing. I thought of it after I said it. I was like, wow, that's kind of gross.
Just an infant dangling from the teat of the Colin Bott.
Colin Bott. This milk is cold. But since you're not a blue man, you are a copywriter. And are you a copywriter who is currently looking for a job?
No, of course not.
No, because you're happy where you're at.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Because I don't know who listens to this podcast.
Well, the short answer would be nobody. But the longer answer would be nobody except for seven people and some other guys that do a show similar to – well, not similar at all. There's no similarities with the exception of the name that they feel that I ripped off of them. But that's who listens.
I listened to that to last week's podcast and the whole controversy with the half-hour power hour.
Yeah, and I really there's no controversy because we are now the undisputed half-hour power hour champions since they ceded the name to us.
Those pussies.
I know. They just
stop. I hope they're listening.
At least one of them is. They should give up those wrestling belts that they earned or were given or something.
Hell, I got one of them, too.
Sure you do, but what's yours for?
Arm wrestling champion of my last agency.
That's right.
There was a little gap under there. It was the...
What? Oh, anyway. So, yeah, you are an arm wrestling champion. So why don't you – we only have a few minutes, but why don't you fill the kids on in on how that actually went down?
Oh, that was actually as a sort of a – what would you call it? A morale-boosting event. My last agency decided to have an arm wrestling competition. Now, the prize was a dinner for two for Wolfgang Puck. And as the svelte bison that I am, I like to eat, and especially Wolfgang Puck.
All right.
And so I'm going for it. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, I'm from the mountains of central Pennsylvania. I went to Penn State.
From way up the mountain.
Exactly. These Creative Circus and Miami Ad School and VCU Ad Center pussies aren't going to...
Pussies?
They're not going to be any challenge whatsoever. So I was like, bring it on.
Yeah, we all prepared differently.
So, and I think I was the winner of the mental warfare also, because about 15 minutes prior to it, I was cranking Slayer in my office, getting all pumped up to just rip the arms off of these kids. And long story short, I pretty much went through the competition like a shit through a sieve.
A hot knife through butter?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I will confirm the Bison's arm wrestling prowess because he and I arm wrestled for Ultimate Supremacy at some point earlier in my lifetime, and I took a team of surgeons to reattach my arm after he so unceremoniously ripped it off and tossed it to the ground.
Well, I took a bite.
And he took a bite out of it. I was beaten like a little girl going up against a large man.
That's not true. You gave me a challenge for at least a half a second.
At least a half a second before the arm came off. And pop. Yeah, and I was beaten soundly. Not that I was ever really good at arm wrestling. So talk about damning with faint praise. Yeah, he beat me, but I was never very good at that.
Oops.
But yeah, so you've got the title belt as advertising wrestling champion, arm wrestling champion.
Absolutely.
So that's something to be certainly proud of.
Bad man.
You were whiskers away from being a blue man, and you're a successful copywriter. So, you know, what do you need to go to Italy for and see the Colosseum?
Exactly. I can die now.
That's right. You can die a happy man. But you have to stay alive to make sure that wrestling belt gets polished.
Oh, absolutely.
But as always happens, about a half an hour from when we start, we are out of time, as the Canadians would say.
Aww.
It's been a whole hell of a lot of fun. Thank you very much, Andy Kelly, live and direct from Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Thank you, Derek, son of Cheese Knight.
And a big thank you to the Colin Bott.
Thanks, Colin Bott. You're the best.
He is the best. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. You have been listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. It is Wednesday, and so next Wednesday we'll be back again with way more fun and frivolity.
Yay! Woo!